Welcome. My name is Gina Timberman, and you are listening to Timber People, a podcast about people who, like timber, are strong, build and create, who gather us together like fuel that feeds fire. People who support structures of our community that uplift and protect.
Welcome to the show. I'm so happy to welcome my friend, Dr. Emily Masters. Welcome.
Thank you.
I've been so excited to talk about the work that you do, and we've known each other socially, and I've been really grateful to be a part of a group with you, of really wonderful professional women's group, and I just really enjoy the time we all have together, and I know we've been trying to connect, and I'm really excited to learn about the work you do. And I was looking at your website. I really, during the show, want people to know your website and to be drawn to it. It's Masters of the Day. I really love that title that you have. And you are a personal professor in the School of Life.
Yes. I love it. So my maiden name is Masters. My married name is Rosenthal. And my husband said, why don't you put something, you know, in honor of your roots? So Masters of the Day, and I help people master their day. And there's a lot that you learn in school, but there's so much that it was like, what happened to the class about how to have your mojo on Monday morning? Or how do you adult? Or how do you handle conflict? How do you level up in your own life? There aren't those kind of classes in school. And a lot of my clients over the years kept saying, oh, I wish I learned this in school. I wish I learned this in school. So a lot of what we talk about is kind of, there's a focus when you're in school for years and you have a syllabus and you have tests and you know when your exams are and you know how you move on to the next grade, but that doesn't happen in life. So when I work with organizations, individuals, it's helping them know here is the focus to take them to the next level.
That's so great. I mean, who can't use that support and direction and assistance and motivation? And really, you know, it's like that phrase, slay the day. Mm-hmm. And so I really love that you help people develop tools to master their day and master their direction forward.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's over the years, clients have referred to me as an above the line fixer, a COO for hire, a home edit for your personal and professional life. So it's really interesting to hear how each individual comes to me, and it's all been through referral based and helping them. And sometimes my ultimate goal is to work myself out of a job. Mm-hmm. I want them to move on that they don't need me. Though there are clients that I've worked with for over a decade, mm-hmm. and our focus changes. So they come in with one thing and they might take a few months off and then they come back, or I have someone that works with me quarterly. So it's more of that intention that people give themselves. Mm-hmm. Just like in sports, you have coaches. And so Tiger Woods had a strength and conditioning coach, swing coach. So there's Hank Haney. There's so many different coaches that we can't do it on our own.
Right.
And so when you have such passion and excitement, or if you've lost that passion and excitement, how do you harness that to move in a really mindful direction? Mm-hmm. Because it's easy to be overwhelmed, and it's easy to kind of, there's negative space around. So to keep in the positive direction is really what I love. I think I walk away from every session with clients more energized and inspired maybe than they might be. So selfishly, it feels good to do the work that I do. And in turn, when people leave, they walk away with a sense of direction and excitement that then helps them move forward in whatever direction they want.
Success can be a shared energy, and it sounds like that is what you're creating, is that shared energy.
Yes.
And they say that there are two things that are certain in life, taxes and death. Well, change is another one. And I know that you help people navigate through change, mm-hmm. through transition and transformation.
Yes. Yes. I was fortunate early in my career. Ken Blanchard, who wrote a book, The 1 Minute Manager, he personally helped me write my personal mission statement. And my personal mission statement is to use my enthusiasm and resources to help others put their healthy intentions into action. And that has been a path that has guided me in every sense of my career path. Mm-hmm. And I've transitioned and changed from advertising to health and wellness. I think I've probably been in every industry. And with that, it's the path of change and helping. That's helped me know what direction to go in. And I thought, oh, this is something that I can offer to help other people.
Right. And I think of that word, like pivoting through and navigating. And, you know, we think about the future as this direct line, but sometimes it's, you know, stepping from pebble to pebble through murky waters and beautiful waters. And sometimes we're sailing along, and mm-hmm. other times we're, you know, riding in a really rocky boat mm-hmm. in the sea. And so it helps to have others with us in that journey. And it's been really cool reading about your journey and visiting with you when I have. And there's so much I'd like the listeners to know about how you came to this point in the work that you do. And I think we're all searching for something that really promotes the mission we have for our work and our ways. And it's really cool to know that you found that.
That, I think, is one of the most exciting things about what I do, is how exciting it is that the change in the process, there's so many emotions that happen with it. People get scared, people get excited, they get overwhelmed, everything in between, but that's what makes them feel alive. To have someone by their side saying, I'm there with you and I'm neutral. Obviously, I have the best interest in hand, but I don't have emotion behind what they're doing. So I am almost on a balcony looking down on the dance floor, and I can help them identify the steps and move obstacles out of the way. So my path, I did communication and anthropology mm-hmm. in college at the University of Arizona. And I went to college knowing I wanted to do the Peace Corps.
Yes.
And I knew that since the seventh grade. I was fortunate enough to do that pretty much right out of school and worked grassroots community level. And I thought, oh, I love this, but I love business and I love arts and I love sports and I love music. And what is something that can relate to people in all demographics of life? So if you think about, there are certain things that no matter socioeconomically where people are, that they can identify with. So art had been so much a part of who I was, and I wanted to expand. Music, I love music. That is not in my skill set. And I thought sports, that my master's is in sport leadership. So life is all about wins and losses and resilience and teamwork. And I thought that if you're in grassroots community setting or you're in a boardroom, the same theories apply. And I was fortunate to do that because it also public health, community, sport, leadership, everything in between. And then I worked in health and wellness for years.
Okay, so before we go on to health and wellness, I do want to say something quick. So I love how you write about your time in the Peace Corps as being a part of a kaleidoscope of culture, basically. Mm-hmm. I love that phrase, and it's really beautiful.
Thank you. I felt like I learned more there than I gave. 2-year experience and a lifetime of learning. And from there, I went into the health and wellness, which I would say was a higher niche clientele. And people thought, how could you go from one industry to the other? And I said, they are the exact same. The same needs, the same desires, the same fears, the same concerns. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Everyone is in that search of what their purpose is in life, and are they going in the right direction, and what's their legacy going to be? So it was really fascinating that there's so much still to this day that those experiences, I went in and I learned that I knew I didn't know everything. But when you go into a totally new environment culturally, you don't go in and say, this is how it is. This is what you should be doing, because you don't know.
Right.
So you probably spend the first 60 to 90 days almost just observing. And I think that's something that others would benefit from in their own positions, in their professional world, if they went in instead of saying, we're going to make this change, this is what you're going to do. You have to understand the lay of the land. You have to know the culture. You have to communicate with the people, and they are a part of the process. And if I learned to be flexible, adaptable, and sustainable are the three areas that when you really work with the culture, that then has a lasting impact. And it's not just something you go in and it's a small change that then doesn't have the sustainability to it.
Right. And, you know, no matter what culture, there are human values that transcend cultural differences. And, you know, that respect and being culturally aware, I think is important. And what the approach that you've taken, I really appreciate the approach that you've taken with the holistic, you know, addressing that the health and wellness and the professional and personal growth and path forward. And I also think about that reciprocity, like you said, that learning and listening and then sharing and giving. So that balance there is really important.
Yes. I went to undergrad in Arizona, and after grad school, fortunate to work at Canyon Ranch, and they mix an Eastern and Western philosophy of health together. And while I was in college, I went to the Navajo Reservation for spring break, and I can remember they built a facility there and hearing about how they built the building based on where the sun patterns were, or that the nurses were instructed, if they weren't Native, you know, don't wear jewelry on these fingers, or culturally how to make it comfortable for people to accept what they're giving and make it an environment. If you don't go to the people, then you're doing a disservice to yourself and to them, because no matter what kind of changes or what you're trying to communicate, it's not a solo journey. So if you don't go to where the people are and then help them move in that direction, then you can't expect people to come to where you are to make changes.
Mm-hmm. It's really great. You know, this is a field of career development that hasn't always been around. And I know that leadership is a major area of focus in the work that you do. I really love the approach that you have about bridging and engaging and thinking about the relationship between leadership and technology.
Oh, thank you. I like to tell people that I work with the people behind the tech.
Right.
So even when AI is coming into play, there will always be people behind the technology. And I'm comfortable in the tech space, though I'm tech adjacent. I am not a tech person, though I'm comfortable being uncomfortable. And I can be the liaison, the ambassador in between to help bridge the gap with that. And I think that's really important, because there are changes coming in every corner of every industry. And it's, how do we prepare people for those changes? How do we set them up with the soft skills that in the past it would have been, you know, if your hard skills, are you a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, you study and you focus on those. People are trained in that, but now AI is going to be trained in those areas. So what about the soft skills? Mm-hmm. The communication, the conflict resolution, the EQ, and understanding how to read the room. And so even if we have all of this technology that's coming in, it still goes back to the people. And I'm a firm believer that everyone is a leader. You don't have to be an extrovert. You don't have to be the person that's out in the front of the room. You don't have to be the one with the biggest ideas. Every person leads in some aspect of their life. And I think that every person is an expert at something in their life as well. So when the imposter syndrome came around, which is great. And I love that it brought light to so many things. And at the same time, I think, oh, but you're starting from a negative space instead of a positive space, because it's the what you don't have. But what if you think of, you are an expert. Nobody knows you more than you know yourself.
Right.
So you're coming from a space that there is something that you have to offer, because at the least you have your perspective.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's about building that confidence and change. We can all rattle with some change, but having confidence through that time is so important. And the work that you do in really promoting that awareness of an individual's gifts and their leadership capacity to be more confident no matter what their path is, you know, holds for them.
And I think that's the confidence through action. So sometimes you don't know what to do, or you need the reassurance of, yes, try it. It's okay if you fail. We're failing up. If you don't move at all, you're not going to make any direction forward. So knowing that there's someone beside them that can help kind of guide them. And I almost feel like I'm a cheerleader too, of like, you got this, but not obnoxiously. I give them the tools to help them.
Right.
And walking away, that they have something tangible, that this is what I can do to transform in my life, because we all want to change, whether you're in a positive place or a negative place. There's something that you want to evolve and do, but you have to have a system. There's theories, there's frameworks of change. And it's great to look around others, but you're only exposed to as much as you're exposed to. So having a doctorate in organizational change and leadership opened my eyes to give me the theory and the practical side of what it matched my experiences.
And I love that you have been trained and have that experience in research and development around sports leadership. And, you know, we oftentimes talk about failure or winning in sports terms. Like how many times do they fail or miss the, you know, this until, you know, and then they have the home runs and, you know, there's so many different analogies through sports. And sports is something that we all get, you know, it's one of those middle ground conversations that, you know, it's great equalizer of, you know, we're all on that team or we're of that spirit. And I love your approach in likening some of these actions that we have in our professional lives around sports leadership and experiences.
Thank you. I moved to Oklahoma a couple years ago and have this amazing 10-year-old in my life now. And I was talking to a parent at an event the other day about my work, and we were talking about the kids. And I said, the leadership lessons that I'm incorporating in the life of a 10-year-old are the exact same lessons that I work with my clients on. Mm-hmm. And so the foundation is there, and reinforcing it and being reminded. Or if you don't focus on the leadership or the growth aspect in your life, then you're not behind if you do it as an adult. It's just something that everyone learns at different phases. And sports does a wonderful job. I think everyone should be in sports. And I think there should be a focus on showing up, and that each individual is better each time they go, or that they're committed to it. I'm not an athletic person. I have run a marathon, but I probably did it in
that
over six.
Pretty athletic. Oh,
I probably did it in over 6 hours. I played every sport growing up. I was not good at it. The ball would have come my way. I probably didn't catch it, but it gave me that sense of teamwork and working with others. And I got really good at not being good at stuff and being comfortable in a space of, okay, well, I'm probably not going to be the best, but I'm going to try it anyways.
Right. And goal setting, reaching those goals, team building, and the relationships that you have. And so I love that your work can be really applied to the professional world, but also to your personal life. And we all need that.
Yes. It used to be work-life balance, but it's work-life integration.
Right.
That you can't have one without the other, and you can't control what happens and your life in it not impacting your job. And your job is going to impact your life, because it's not a balance. That almost feels like one, you have to work in both areas where you don't have control. So if it integrates together and helps with the flow.
So your journey has taken you from anthropology, and I can also see the great level of research kind of mind that, you know, that would take. And you've applied that to studying how effective your work could be in different aspects of human behavior and social ways and professional ways. And so you have, you know, through communication and sports leadership, and you're a USC. You're a USC alum, and I love that, you know, that that you've taken that route and have applied. And I know that through the Peace Corps and your time at USC, what was that like?
Oh, wow. I feel like most people go on a direct path in their career, and mine has been kind of all over the place. University of Arizona, Peace mm-hmm. Corps, Center for Sport Leadership at Virginia Commonwealth University, worked in health and wellness, worked for the number one advertising agency in the U.S. on Walmart, Geico, Nespresso, right. Oreo Global, and then moved and shifted my focus to individuals and organizations. I loved what I was doing in advertising. I loved the creativity. I loved the high pace. But at the same time, I thought, we're not saving lives.
Right.
And a friend who was a doctor said that they were saving people's lives and I was helping change their lives. And I thought, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to be there to help others put their healthy intentions into action. And I think it was from my friends in my community that people told me what I was good at. And that's the direction that I moved in. Because it's really easy to compare yourself and say, oh, I'm not the best at math, right. or science really isn't my thing, or I'm not as athletic as this person. But I knew where my strengths were, and it was in serving others. And so I leaned into that, and that servant leadership style has benefited me full circle, that I understand what my role is and what area I can do to help others. And as little as maybe they want to incorporate something health and wellness wise, or they are a director moving into a VP role. I love working with people in every point of their life, that it doesn't have to be the corporate on Wall Street that is burnout, that it could be a high school student that as a graduation gift, their parents give them sessions with me every quarter, then to check in with them, and I can help facilitate change and that confidence. So confidence and action and systems are really what helps change occur.
Absolutely. You know, we think about that diploma, like that you get handed, you know, you graduate, you know, from the school, but having that confidence and those skills that may not be rolled up with a ribbon around it, but mm-hmm. we still need aspects of that diploma in life, of in the school of life, as you say. You know, yeah. I love that. I really love that. You do such a great job of telling your own story. And I know that you help others tell their own story and develop their own mission statement and the vision that they have for their lives. And I know that it sometimes needs to be revisited. And there are times I feel like I need to really do that kind of check on what direction am I moving forward next in life and career, and how do I want to tell my story? What would you share with the listener about developing their own mission and vision with the way they talk about themselves?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
First, when I heard that question, my thought is, go back to what you loved when you were 16 years old. What was it that excited you at 16? And it might, I mean, when I was 16, I had no idea you could have a doctorate in organizational change and leadership.
Right.
Like that just,
no, absolutely.
I knew I wanted to do the Peace Corps mm-hmm. and I didn't know anything beyond that. Though when you focus on, so I do 15-minute sessions and I help someone write their personal mission statement in 15 minutes. And that is like a North Star. And not only does it help you know what direction you want to go to, but it helps you know what direction not to go. So it's just as important to say, no, that doesn't align. Don't put my energy into that. That might not be the best direction. So I would say more than anything, reflection is big, that it's really easy to keep moving forward. But if you don't look back and see why you've made the steps that you have.
Right.
And that was, I was at a point in my career too, that I had been fortunate enough that people kept offering me jobs. And that's kind of how I moved in so many different spaces, because I'd be somewhere and someone would say, ooh, you'd be really good at this. Do you want to come to it? And then at one point I thought, wait, I never stopped to figure out what it is I wanted to do.
Right.
And so it's easy for life to just pick up speed. And then all of a sudden you're in a place that you didn't know you would be, but it's also not the place where you want to be. So how do you get back?
Right. You get kind of swept up in that momentum or that inertia of just what's happening in life. And I know that especially after COVID, post-COVID, that, you know, a lot of people were rethinking careers. And how have you seen your business change in the last couple of years?
Oh, so there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there, which is fascinating. And I love that. But I also love when someone works a 9-to-5 corporate job, or they work at a community organization, and they don't want to change. They want to figure out how to improve where they are. Mm-hmm. And that has been very rewarding to be a part of people's journeys. And when I work with them, they have very easy action items at the end of the sessions, or if we're doing a strategic plan for a nonprofit, or I'm going in and I'm doing communication training with an organization, that more than anything, it's great to come in and be inspired and motivated and excited when someone comes to work with you. But what happens when you're done? Right. And so giving easy wins or follow up on things, because life happens. You have kids to feed. You have homework to do. You are stressed about money. I mean, there's so many things that happen in life that can take over. But when you align with your goals and your dreams and your actions, then all of the other stresses that come into life, it's almost as though they're not easy, because right. life is not easy. Right. But it makes it easier mm-hmm. to handle life's complications.
I love how you break it down to those manageable tasks or to-dos to move forward. Oftentimes, I know I have been stuck in this trying to make perfection rather than progress. Mm-hmm. It's like looking at the elephant and like, I can't eat an elephant. Well, there's only one way to eat an elephant. It's one bite at a time. Yeah. And so giving someone the tools to break it down into meaningful, impactful, smaller steps forward makes all the difference.
Yes. At this point in my life, I feel like I'm going through this huge rebrand, and talk about having a background in change. And that is what I am also focusing on. I am guilty as well, as I want it to be perfect. Right. And I have to remind myself that I have so many tools that would benefit others, and just get it out there. Right. My worksheets don't have to be something that someone looks at it and they think, whoa, that graphic design is amazing. Sometimes it's just getting it out there. And then you receive the feedback from others. So it's much easier said than done. But I will say, everything that I work with my clients, if it's an individual, an organization, nonprofit, corporate, that they are also things that I'm doing. So I'm speaking from theoretical academic knowledge, but also personal experience. Mm-hmm. And it's relatable. And so because I can feel what my clients are going through, I put my heart and soul into everything that I do.
Absolutely. I love that. I also want to touch on, you know, I love the fact that you talk about the North Star, you know, and in that path. And that, in my mind, I thought of your work like a constellation mm-hmm. of these different areas of well-being, you know, health, mm-hmm. wellness, the way we're thinking about change and moving forward and leadership. And so I like the North Star analogy, but also that constellation mm-hmm. of the work that you do.
Oh, thank you. I was speaking with someone recently, and it's like connecting the dots.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
And if you can see the big picture, you can see the stars, you might not know the path as you're following the North Star. You might not know what path to go on. But if you're moving in that direction, or as the sky changes, and I'm a big nature person, right. even after 10 years in New York City.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that too.
I am a nature person through and through. So I think when you can focus on how life is bigger than what your everyday is, but then you also have to consciously focus on that. And right. And be a part of that if you want to change. And that's not a hard thing, but it's also not easy.
I'm so happy you're here in Oklahoma now. Was it? That's a big change going from, you know, from living in New York to Oklahoma. How do you feel about that transitional time in your life?
It is a transition. I'm going to be completely honest. I will say I love Oklahoma. I had been to 40 some states before I moved here and had not been to Oklahoma. And I came here and I fell in love with the people, with the pace, with the culture. Yes, there have been some adjustments. But every time I think, oh, I miss this about where I lived here, or I lived on a tropical island, or I miss this, I miss that. There's something that matches it here. Mm-hmm. So it might not be the same, but it's right. Really easy to find those things that you love when you're happy where you are.
I love that. I think that's so great. And I have to say, I'm just really excited about the work that you're doing. And I know that many people will benefit from your important work. Dr. Emily Masters Rosenthal, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. I want the listeners to know your website, if you don't mind sharing.
Yes, it is mastersoftheday.com, or they could go to withdremily.com. And when they go to the website, I mean, part of I feel like my journey here to Oklahoma is I have such a unique skill set that I want to be a part of what's going on here. I want to be part of the excitement of Oklahoma. And so I feel very honored that I get to be here at this point in my life and benefit from and working with. So I might come in and I have a skill set about change and about leadership, but I don't know the culture the same way that others do. And so to blend them together is going to be a really exciting point. And I'm looking forward to what's ahead here.
Oh, me too. Super cool. I feel like you're empowering people so much, and it's like superheroes. It's Dr. Emily, Masters of the Day, or is it Masters of the Universe?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Emily.
Thank you. It's been an honor. And one of the highlights of my time in Oklahoma is meeting people like you and having this really natural conversation, and you bring out the best in people. So thank you for letting me be a part of that.
Thank you so much. It's been a gift to know you and have you on the show.
Yakoki, thank you for joining us. Timber People is brought to you by the Possibilities Podcast platform.